Hello everyone, thanks for joining us. I'm just going to send out a message. Unfortunately, my little baby has just thrown up everywhere just as I was about to start. So Mrs. is dealing with him. I'm going to send messages out, let people know we're going to be going live. We'll discuss Stephen Egesta, Johnny Jackson's job, players we're keeping, rumour mill that's going off this weekend, some of the stuff I've heard. So let me fill up the room and then we'll start and crack on. Right, so we're ready to start. Sorry about that. As I said, I've just my little one has just thrown up everywhere. Just as we were putting him to bed, he decided to be sick, which is always good just before you're about to start this. So me and the missus are just about to kill each other and then start a Sunday debrief. So as always, if you have something you want to say, press the speak button or send messages in the comments and we'll go through them best we can. We'll get you on to have your say, no matter the opinion, whatever you want to say, come on, have a say and get across your opinions. We are the only place that does give all fans a say. We are the only place that lets fans have an opinion on their football club. Right, so we'll start with Stevenage yesterday. So we lost 2-1 to Stevenage. We started, Zanev came back into goal instead of Broom. Lee Brown came back in. Chris Gunter came back in. And who was the other one that came back in? I'm trying to think. I can't think. My mind's gone blank. Someone else came back in. Who was it? I can't think who it was now. But yeah, it looked like at one point we were playing a 3-5-2. And then it looked like a 4-4-2 during the game, or 4-4-1, whatever it was. First half, I thought we played extremely well. I thought we'd done all right. I thought we played good. I thought it was a silly mistake for the Stevenage first goal. I'm not sure why Zanev don't come and clear that ball. Quite funny in the comments after from Johnny Jackson saying the reason why he picked Zanev over Broom is that he thought he was strong on crosses. Well, that wasn't the case yesterday with him not coming for that first one. But yeah, I thought we'd played all right first. I thought Janna played one of his best games for us. I thought we were good at moving the ball around. Stevenage, we kind of nullified their attack. Everything went through Jake Reeves. They play a lot of long ball because their pitch is horrendous. It's so bobbly. It's hard to play football on a pitch where you go to control it and it's bouncing before you have to touch it. And then Ali scores. I thought it was a brilliant goal. Good play to get the ball over to Janna. Janna then puts a ball into his feet. He does what Ali does. He turns and scores a goal. So, yeah, without Ali at the moment, I think we would really be struggling. I think we'd be going into proper relegation. I think we'd be going down without Ali at the moment because he's the only one who scores goals for us. He's the only one who looks like he's going to score goals. Bristol, as just said, Bristol 07 said, where was Pearson? Pearson was injured. We found out that obviously after the game because they never tell us who's injured before the game. Just in case Stevenage might have lined up with a different formation if Pearson had been playing. Complete bollocks as always, but that's our club at the moment sometimes. I liked Stevenage's ground. I thought Stevenage's ground was decent. I liked the aesthetics of the ground, the noise that the Wimbledon fans made. I've got to say, I was very impressed with another 700 of us going to the game, making plenty of noise. Me and my boy's 14, he wanted to stand right in amongst all the the singers and that. So I did look a little bit out of place where we had about, what, two rows of, 15, 16-year-old youth, as we would say. And there was me, a big, fat, bald, bearded 41-year-old. I've got to say, I thought our fans are brilliant at the moment. And I have to say, the young lads who are now following Wimbledon are superb. Do you know what I mean? They make loads of noise. They come up with loads of good songs. I'm really happy with the fans, and I think we should be happy with our fan base at the moment. It didn't get any, there was no vile nature towards Johnny Jackson at the end or towards the players. There was nothing towards that when we lost. There was no I didn't hear any Johnny Jackson out chants. To be fair, I did make a point. Me and my boy said, like, there has not been one song sang to Johnny Jackson, which says it all, really. We don't have to sing "We Want Johnny Jackson Out" to kind of get the message across. As I said, there's not one Johnny Jackson's Yellow Blue Army. There's not one "We've Got Super Johnny Jackson" anymore, which I think says it all from the fan base. Second half, I thought we were useless. I thought we were awful side second half against them. I thought we just let them play their usual game. We had Woodyard just running around like a headless chicken, just fouling everyone. I thought the only two players I thought come out of it with any positivity again is Ali, and I thought young Casey McAteer. I like Casey McAteer a lot. I love the fact that he gets the ball. You can see that he's been brought up at a Premier League team like Leicester, where they're going to get the ball. He drives with the ball, he runs with the ball, he wants to get forward at all times, and I like that kind of player. So I was quite happy with that and with him. But yeah, I thought we were horrendous yesterday. Robin's going to speak. I met Robin yesterday. Robin, nice to meet you yesterday, Robin. How are you? You all right?
I was going to say, on the Ali and Casey thing, they're always the two that go over like closest and clap the fans. I do wonder if there's like a limit on how far the others can come. It seems like they're keeping a wide berth. They sort of do it from just a bit, not quite the halfway line, but edge of a penalty box. Feels a bit weird to me. And then Casey and Ali always seem to come a bit closer. I don't know. I also just thought one funny thing was, I've seen the shirts have gone up on Match One shirts, and I saw Ali gave his shirt away. And I don't know if anyone else saw Robin Bedford, the kit man, come out at the end looking a bit confused. But I reckon he's wondering if he'd get the shirt back. Just made me chuckle a little.
Yeah, the thing with shirts like that, a lot of players, sometimes they change their shirts at halftime. So hopefully we've got another shirt
that
for him. Yeah, I made a point to some of my friends. The kid who has the carpool sign, I don't know if it's anyone's boys on here, but if that's your son and yourself, that should be a lifetime ban. So the boy should get a lifetime ban, and the family should get a lifetime ban. And Ali, for giving his shirt, we should really like sell him now, because I hate that kind of thing. We're turning into a WWE. Do you know what I mean? With loads of cardboard, like, can I have your shirt? And we ain't got enough shirts to give away. I want to say, Robin, thanks for bringing up regarding the shirts from Robin. I took the shirt that was behind the goal that the club done. So I want to say fair play to the club for putting out the shirt regarding the RIP Chris. Chris Burgess, as many people know, passed away on Wednesday. I got hold of that shirt because I'm going to send it over to his son, David. David Burgess, close friend of mine. I met him in the morning of the game. He came up to Wimbledon after obviously being by his dad's bedside. So he come up. He done the Plough Lane tour on Saturday morning, which was brilliant for him, because he that's what him and his dad would have loved. So yeah, I was quite happy he got on that tour, and I grabbed that shirt. So I'm going to post that to him, and hopefully he'll do something with that, or he might put it on Chris's coffin. I'm not sure, but that's up to David now. But yeah, fair play to the club for putting that out there, because that was the club that done that. And yeah, fair play to him. Mick, how you doing, mate? I spoke to you yesterday. How are you?
Yeah, Ryan? Good, Lee. Yeah, and I kind of agree with all your analysis of the game. I didn't think we played too bad. Second half, we were a bit toothless, weren't we? It would be nice to have a couple of shots on target when we're chasing the goal. And I think it kind of summed it up in many respects, that Ali almost got us a point at the end, but it was from a long throw that everybody missed, and he hit on the volley, and it missed by a Rizla paper, didn't it? So I think it just shows, really, that if we get the ball in the box, then Ali is so potent at this level that he's always going to score goals, isn't he? There a couple of things that I did just want to say. I was talking to a couple of guys in a pub last night, and they were talking about Morgan Williams getting the man of the match at Eastbourne, and I've only seen him play the once with the youth against Leeds, and he did look very good that day to me. And I saw young Alfie Bendall doing his bench warming bit and kicking it around at half time and doing his going through his array of tricks that he's worked on during the week and stuff. And it does kind of strike me with these boys, and I saw Zach Robinson played for Dundee and that as well. It does kind of strike me with these boys that I wonder what would have happened if we'd have given them a go. You know, I know it could have gone wrong and we could lose every week. It could have been a disaster like that, but I just wonder, Lee, if we'd have given these kids a bit of a go, would we be in 19th now, or would it be worse than that? Or I don't know, mate. Just a thought. You know, could it be any worse, really?
Thing is, you say, like, we could have brought them in and we could lose every week. We're losing every week anyway.
It's been kind of ironic.
I've got two aspects on that regarding that. Morgan Williams, one, I don't think he's ready for the first team yet. I think he needs a full season loan at a Conference South team, somewhere like that. I think he's not ready at the moment. It's good that he's doing work for Corinthian Casuals, but it is a lower standard, and I'd like to see him go off to...
All I would say on that, I mean, I've only seen the lad play once, and obviously... You make the solid assumption that the guys that are looking after him know what they're doing, and that he's not ready yet, and the rest of it. But when we played Weymouth out of that league in the FA Cup, we had all on to beat Weymouth. I mean, I've no doubt that we're a better team than Weymouth. Are down the bottom of that league, aren't they? We had all on to beat them. It wasn't a ridiculously poor standard. And it's just as I say, if we were going well, I would say, yeah, you know what, fair enough. Get these kids out on loan. But when we've got, I mean, certainly in the case of Bendall yesterday, we didn't have a shot on target second half. Now, I think he's got a bit of a dig on him, the lad, you know, and I've seen him in games before, and particularly if we play him as an eight rather than a four, I think he's got a bit of a dig on him. And I just wonder, Lee, you know, I mean, by all accounts, George Marsh is not going to be here next season. And wouldn't it not be worth having a look? Is it just me who thinks that? I don't have...
You've literally just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, we all know George Marsh is not going to be here next season. I've heard over the weekend, and again, this is off the rumour mill that I was going to say, so people don't take this as gospel. It's just something that I got told in a pub on Saturday, that George Marsh is our highest paid player. He earns the most money out of the squad at the moment, and he's a bench warmer that gets nowhere near it. He's not good enough, unfortunately. When George Marsh came in, I thought, yes, we've got this lad from Spurs. He was going to be good for us, but unfortunately, it's just not worked out. And it happens sometimes. It doesn't work out, and on this occasion, it hasn't. But I'm with you. I'd rather see us chuck Bendall in at the moment than see George Marsh come in, because as we all know, George Marsh is gone. Bendall's got a contract for next year or 2 years, but yeah, but I'd rather see Bendall come in and play. The Zach Robinson one still blows my mind, that Zach Robinson's out on loan at Dundee, scoring goals, assisting goals, causing issues up there, could get promoted with Dundee. There's a lot of clubs now looking at him, and he'll be off in the summer, which is good because we'll get a fee for him now because he's under contract. But yeah, it still blows my mind that we had our bench on Saturday was horrendous. You saw Crane Bartley come on. If people think Crane Bartley is anywhere near it, then they need their head testing. He did not win a header, and he's massive. And he's playing against experienced pros like Stevenage. And he looked like a rabbit in a headlight. I said to my boy on Saturday, I said it was a chicken. I said, oh, he looks like a chicken in the headlights. But yeah, he said, no, Dad, you mean rabbit. So
can I just come back on Quayne? I think from my judgment, I don't know the kid, but he looks to me like he probably has shed a few pounds, actually. And I wouldn't be as quick as you are, Lee, to write him off. I think he might have a... I think he'll certainly have a future in the game, whether it's at League Two or whether he's in Conference South or what. I don't know. He's certainly got ability, I think. In the case of Zach Robinson, it's just mental to me, because I never saw him in pre-season training, the so-called bad attitude time, but I did see him when he played away at Sheffield Wednesday and led the line and did a fantastic job of it. I did see him when he played against Charlton and scored. I mean, he only played three or four games at the end of last season, and certainly Mark Bowen thought there was nothing like him, didn't he? And I must admit, I was very impressed myself. So, and now he's gone to Dundee, and they're top of the Scottish Championship. And everybody tells me that's it's equivalent of a pub league somewhere. Well, they're going to go into the Scottish Premiership next season and play against Celtic and Rangers, who are in the Europa League and stuff. So I don't really follow that logic. I mean, put it this way, we're playing Dundee United home and away in a Fairs Cup kind of thing at the moment. I know my money be on. So if he's good enough up there, what do I know?
Right, no, I agree with you regarding Zach Robertson. And again, people do say it's a pub league, which is probably true. But we haven't got anything on our bench to come on. And yesterday, we could have done with Zach Robinson coming on the last 15, 20 minutes causing issues. We didn't have that. We had no, I think his first sub yesterday was the 80th something minute. I can't remember exactly, but it was like the 85th or something minute yesterday that we made our first sub because everyone was going, there was people shouting around me going, come on, change it up, get something off the bench. And it was like, well, what? What? The only experienced pro we had on the bench yesterday was George Marsh. We didn't have anything else. Quayne Bartley, he hasn't done it at non-league level. That's my problem with it, is he went to Wingate. Yeah, Finley. Yeah. He didn't do great there. He didn't score many. I don't think he scored a goal at Wingate. And I just, as I said, he came on yesterday. It's probably the wrong game for him. One question I've got for everyone, again, if you want to hear the speak button. Robin, did you have your hand up a minute ago? Did you want to say something quickly?
I was actually trying to get rid of it. I do think, I mean, I feel for Quayne because he shouldn't be in the squad. He should be out on loan. But I mean, obviously, the circumstances are weird. But I mean, I don't know sort of what his level is, but I don't think he should, through no fault of his own, he shouldn't sort of really be put in that position.
No, I agree with that. I think, unfortunately, it might ruin his career at Wimbledon because he is being put into the first team too soon and when he should be out on loan, as you said. Again, if you have anything you want to say regarding yesterday's game, press that speak button, put some messages in the comments. We'll go through them as best we can. The one thing I've got for everyone, the question I've got for you two who are on the speak at the moment, can someone please to explain to me the Jenkins substitution? So we bring Jenkins on with, 3 minutes to go, literally in the injury time. We then have a free kick that we put Jenkins on for. Then we play it short and then don't get it in the box for Jenkins to kind of get. Because I think Johnny Jackson thought, well, he done that goal at Barrow. Do you know what I mean? And now I'm some fucking football genius. Do you know what I mean? I'm like Pep Guardiola. I will get him on and he'll score again. And it, obviously, I don't get why we just didn't put the ball straight in the box with all our players in there.
I think it was worth a shout, Lee. I mean, Luke's not the tallest of a centre halves, but he does attack it. I mean, is that thing with, some players just have that knack of picking the flight really early and attacking the space. And I said he flies in like it's kicked off in the kebab shop a bit. He does really throw himself at it. So I think it was a fair call getting him on, but then taking the free kick short was absolutely bonkers. I mean, another thing I would throw in there as well. I don't remember the guy with the beard that they had. I can't remember his name. Well, I hope that we study the last sort of 5 minutes of the game when he gave us that free kick away. But then after that, he did a perfect thing over on the halfway line with 3 minutes to go or something. He started a completely pointless melee on the touchline over a throw in. He pushed a guy and the referee got involved and it was all push and shove and the benches were up and the rest of it. It was a fantastic piece of play by the kid because it took 2 or 3 minutes to sort it all out. He got booked and we pulled him over and then he didn't hear the referee's whistle when he pulled it, all this old nonsense. And it was like a case study in what you do when you run the clock down. You do start a little melee, you do all this. I mean, we fell into it, obviously. We got involved, we didn't really need to and all the rest of it. But when we keep having leads every week and keep throwing them away, I hope that we do look at these the way other teams do it, because that is exactly what you do. On the halfway line, start a little push and shove, get the crowd up, start a little. If we'd have done that again in the game before the last one, we would have won the game, wouldn't we? As soon as the guy misses the penalty, we should be volleying it into the stands and making two substitutions, and the game's over. But we don't. This is the bit that gets me when people say about people learning on the job, Lee. At my job, if someone's learning on the job, I'll have that. But I want to see signs of them learning. You know, if the guy burnt the beef 6 months ago and he said, look, I won't do it again, and he's still burning it 6 months later, I'm thinking, well, maybe he's not a chef, you know? And it kind of feels a bit like that at the moment. You know, we're doing the same things wrong over and over. And incidentally, I don't blame the players. I think the players are giving it absolutely everything. I really do. And there's a few of them playing. I'm convinced that a couple of them are injured. And, I thought Lee Brown yesterday, he gets a lot of stick. Stuck him in the centre of the defence, and I thought he let nobody down at all. And under a barrage, I thought he did really, really well. And incidentally, just before I go, George Marsh as well, I think he gets a lot of stick. He's a good player. I've got no problem with George at all. Good player. The only reason I'm saying Bendel is because, unlike George, he's going to be here next season.
No, I half agree with you, Mick, and I half disagree with you. I think I can see some of the players are giving their all and stuff. I just don't think they're that good. George Marsh, I disagree with you completely. I think he'll be at Braintree one day or in the next couple of years. He'll drop down the levels now because he's come from, he was at Spurs, went on loan to Orient, come to us. He's going to be released by us. Can't see who's going to pick him up. The funniest thing for me is Steve Evans and his assistant are absolute scumbags. Can't stand both of them. But they're perfect managers for League Two. They're perfect management and assistant. The geezer, I can't remember, is Rayner, I think it is, on the assistant, on the bench. He does not stop. Steve Evans obviously can't get up nowadays because he is that fat, but his assistant manager does not stop. He is in the fourth official any challenge. It's like when the guy fell over, him and Will had a tussle and the guy went down like he'd been shot. Rain was going mental even though he'd never seen it. But I take your point on Lee Brown yesterday as well. And Lee Brown, I've always said that shithousery is brilliant if you use it in the right way. And I thought Lee Brown did it at first half when, who was it, one of their players hit Zanev or Rose, it was, who tried to, Zanev come and claim a ball and Rose tried to push him. As the ball's gone up, I don't know if anyone realised, Brown has gone straight in the back of Rose with an elbow. Bang, straight in the back of him. And I thought, yeah, that's fair. That's good, because that's what you want. Do you know what I mean? Look, you do that to my keeper again, you're going to have me to pay with. And I thought, yeah, you're right with that. Robin, what did you want to say, mate?
Yeah, I like that, Brown. But I would say, I think, if I'm correct, Johnny said something about sort of having to play Lee out of position. And obviously, we do have Jenkins on the bench. I mean, he did make the error. I think I'm right in saying he made an error after he came on at Salford for the first one. But, I mean, he is a centre-back. So, I know that didn't quite sit right in me. I mean, Lee didn't have a bad game. I mean, it was just the first one was sort of it's floating in the air in our box and we're sort of not going to do anything about it. But, I mean, there's probably a few people other than him you could put the blame on for that one.
No, I agree. And Mick talked about that earlier about long throws. I think Saturday's the first time I've kind of seen us utilise long throws. You know what I mean? It's the first time we were like 2-1 down. We thought, right, we've got to get the ball in the box. Started doing it. I love long throws. I think they're brilliant.
Normally we get a long throw on the corner of the opposition box. And it ends up with Nick back at Nick Saniff for 5 seconds later, and he punts it. We do that over and over again. It's a mystery to me why we do that. But on the question of the young kid in defence and playing Lee Brown there instead, 99 times out of 100, I would agree with Robin 100%. I'd say stick the kid in, stick Luke Jenkins in, and let him go. But against these, I do think in the whole league they're a kind of special case. They play their style really, really well. Students of Wimbledon and long-term fans of Wimbledon will have seen it before, and it's almost based on a Wimbledon of the 80s style, isn't it? They get the ball forward quick, they pin you in there, they're very hard to play against, they don't let you get it out of your penalty area, and it's all about physicality and the rest. And I think if ever there was a case for not playing a kid, I actually do agree with the manager on this one. I think putting Lee Brown in there was a masterstroke. And equally, I agree with playing Chris Gunter at right back as well. And incidentally, I thought Chris Gunter was pretty good too. You know, you really do need the big, strong, scrapping, fully grown men in there against Stevenage. They're a real one-off in that respect. And I thought the back four, plus Nick, aside from the first goal, which was a bit of a calamity, well, actually both goals were, weren't they? But I would never criticise Jack Curry, because what a great player and what a great lad he is. But it was, aside from that, I thought we defended really well, actually.
A couple of your points, though. Yeah, I agree with your point regarding I wouldn't have chucked Jenkins in. Yes, I would have had Lee Brown. I agree with that. Will Gunter, I, as much as I don't want to see him in the yellow, I would have preferred Ogundia yesterday, only because I don't want Gunter near our team anymore. I really don't, after he thought he could go off and coach instead of playing for Wimbledon at a time when we needed him. I'm quite surprised that there weren't more stuff aimed at Gunter with regards to booze and stuff. And do you know what I mean? I know a lot of people around me were saying they didn't want Gunter in the team, and I have to agree with him. To be fair, mate, I might be right on that point that he's probably the right decision to play him. But yeah, I don't want him anywhere near it at the moment. But yeah, it is what it is. Yes, Robin, what did you want to say, mate?
I was going to say with injuries, I feel like we're saying it again and again. Why? I mean... Obviously, with what we had on the bench, we didn't really have much. But Armani Little sort of playing and having his hamstring go, like, I don't think he trained on Thursday. It's clear sort of they knew something was up there. So I don't get why Like, surely it can't be that surprising. Like, there must be something sort of going wrong. So we've had this, like, with a few players. You've got players coming back and then they're getting injured again. It feels like there's still just that problem there.
Yeah, and apparently he's out. He won't be back now for the rest of the season, so that's him gone as well.
That's not surprising. But yeah, if so he was injured on Thursday, why is he playing?
Again, why not throw Bendel in? Do you know what I mean? There's a player sitting there who would have come in and should have played. And as I said,
yeah, Robin's absolutely right, as are you, with the Armani Little thing, because the minute he went down, George Marsh was getting stripped off. So clearly they knew that there was an issue there. And if it is the case, which it surely must be, that they don't fancy Bendel at all, you've got to play George Marsh then. I mean, if the guy, in our current situation with injuries, if the guy is feeling his hamstring, which he pinged during the game, you've got to sit him down. I mean, I know Armani Little's a good little player, and I think he's done well for us, actually. I'd have absolutely no problem if we signed him on a permanent deal. I like him. He's a good player. I think he's another player that I think we're not probably seeing the best of. I think he's got much more in his locker than he's showing, because he's certainly an attacking midfielder rather than a defensive one. And he tends to end up playing defensive for us. But if he's feeling his hamstring, we've got to sit him down. I mean, play George. If we don't like Bendel, and it seems obvious that for whatever, remember, you've got some ginger thing going on. I don't know what it is, but we don't like him. So in that case, play George Marsh then. But you can't risk putting the guy on and then 10 minutes later it pings. I mean, that's bonkers, isn't it?
No, I totally agree. And I don't know if he likes Bendel, or he just doesn't think he's ready, because Harrogate wasn't in the squad there because it wasn't the type of game for him. I just think he's bonkers at the moment as well. I don't get why. As I said, Marsh, we all know he's going. He's going to be off in the summer, so let's put someone else in. But the problem is, at the moment, we still need to win games, because we could still go down, which is very, very worrying at the moment. And this is why I don't get why we still have Johnny Jackson in charge when we possibly could go down. The guy is absolutely clueless for me. I don't get how we have him as a manager still. You can go on the form that we've gone on and not sacked him or got rid of him. But he must have something on the club, or it must be something that we're going to have to pay off, or we're waiting until the summer. I don't know. I don't know why he is still our manager. As I said, there was no song sang for Johnny Jackson at all on Saturday. I can't even remember people clapping him at the end of the game. As I said, I know Ali got clapped. I clapped for Casey McAteer. But that was it, really. Yeah, it's mad to me. But Mikey T wants to come in. Robin, what did you want to say? And then I'll go to Mikey T.
I was just going to say on that note, I've been doing some nervous maths looking at the table. And I mean, you'd probably... I mean, there's a chance if we pick up nothing, we'd survive. It's not an awful chance, but I do feel like Cranmer didn't do many favours by missing a penalty against Crawley. Maybe they're trying to get some revenge or something. But I mean, Hartlepool 8 points off with one extra game, but by Tuesday we'll know what to do about that.
You'd hope
it'd be enough, but we'll see.
I just hope we beat Swindon before we have to play Tranmere, because they'd love nothing more than to get us relegated.
But they'd love it, yes.
Yeah. Mikey, what did you want to say, mate? You was on comms yesterday. What did you want to say?
Yeah, just a few quick words yesterday about the game there, Lee. Thanks for having me on. I just thought that, again, just very disappointing, the two goals we did concede, because otherwise I think we were well placed for a draw, and that was against up against the odds, because of course we knew what to expect from Stevenage, having played them what, 6-7 weeks ago at home when they beat us. Those two real monsters at the back, particularly Sweeney, Piergiani, and really they didn't really allow us much of a sniff. And it was telling that when Alhamadi actually equalised, when the ball was played into him, it wasn't those two centre-halves that were breathing down his neck. It was actually one of their more, dare I say, diminutive midfielders, Kane Smith. And he turned away quite easily and then obviously blasted the ball home. But apart from that, the two centre-halves seemed to have his measure for pretty much most of the game. We didn't really sort of create that much. Then, as was mentioned, you know, we brought that guy Bostwick on, the bearded guy. He was shades of Gregor the Mountain Clegane off of Game of Thrones. He just come on and then got involved and then growling at people. And I think that's to a certain extent where we're missing Pell. I'm not saying he'd be going growling in people's faces, but again, just someone to break play up, wind the opposition up, again, get the crowd sort of, you know, going in an adverse way, maybe. And then, although we had the chance right at the end, with Hamidi. I think that was pretty much as good as it got in the second half. But yeah, it was just, you know, again, we would have been probably good for a draw, despite all of those advantages maybe that Stevenage had in their favour. And of course, a good result, you know, draw would have been good, given how high they are on the table. But again, it was just those two crucial moments defending, which ultimately proved their undoing. And of course, again, we're not going to have a pop at Jack Curry. Of course, he's still a young lad. I mean, he's done so well for us this season. Of course, showed that class, went on Twitter, apologised to everybody as well. But again, it was a one where we did okay, and they weren't that really that much better than us at all. And again, could have been good for a draw were it not just for those lapses again very early on, and then on the hour when Stevenage got their winner.
No, I agree. The thing I've got with Jack Curry at the moment, and I agree with what's been said regarding Jack Curry, he's a fantastic young player. We can't really get on his back too much. But his form's just fallen off a cliff. I thought he was horrendous yesterday, really bad. Like, there was one point in the first half, he was running all over the place. He didn't know where to tackle. He was totally out of position. And then he obviously gives the goal away. I know he sent his tweet out, which, again, he doesn't have to apologise for anything. He's been fantastic. He was on for Player of the Year. But since January, where the Bristol City stuff come about, he has fallen off an absolute cliff with regards to his form, which is very worrying, because we want, obviously might have to sell him in the summer, and we want to get as much money as possible for him. Robin, you want to say something, then I'll go to Sam Elliott.
I was going to say, with regards to our attack, did anyone else feel like the plan was sort of hoof it up the pitch and sort of hope? Because, I mean, we haven't really got anyone sort of big up there to collect it. It felt like we were sort of, especially after the second goal, they were content to keep it in the corner. And as soon as we won it back, it was hoof it up. They seemed to get another throw in. Or, I mean, I don't know if we were like hoping for the off chance that one of us would pick it up and sprint through and be on goal, but it felt like we had absolutely no plan at all. And sort of subs-wise, nothing really came on to change it.
I'll back the team up a little bit here in regards to that, because first half, I think we tried to play a bit of football. They were playing long ball. I said it, Jake Reeves wasn't really getting it on the floor. He was trying to get hit high and stuff because their pitch is so bobbly. And we were just trying to hit them on the counter-attack, which I think we'd done quite well, and then we scored from it. We had a couple of chances, as I said, second half. I think we realised we were never going to be able to play football on that pitch. And then we just went long ball, and there was no one we could play long ball to. And that's why I think he brought Bartley on in the end. But it was too late to bring Bartley on. As I said to Mike earlier, I don't rate Bartley, but if you've got him on the bench, bring him on earlier. Do you know what I mean? Use him. Don't bring him on the 85th minute and expect him to go and do something, because he ain't going to do it, unfortunately. Sam, what did you want to say, mate? And hopefully you're going to be talking in facts only.
Facts only, indeed. I'm gonna break with tradition a bit, like you, your podcast. Well, I've got to say, actually, your podcast, mate, on Friday, absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I was tuned in, ready to go for a whinge fest, mate, on your podcast on Friday. But I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Real good change of pace, mate. Yeah, positive. I liked it. And do you know what? I'm gonna say something positive as well. Actually, this is a real break with tradition for me on a Sunday. John Jackson's comment yesterday, listen, you know, I'm not on very much in the Jackson in camp whatsoever. I'm a paid up certified member of the Jackson Out Club. I write the newsletter. But one thing he did say yesterday was quite interesting. I thought he said, we're not far away. And it kind of got me thinking about it, actually. Maybe he's right with this one. Maybe he's right. When you go through the results, right? We've actually only had, I think, three or four, maximum of four games this season where we've been beaten by more than one goal. Yeah, we've had, 16, 17 defeats, whatever it is, and then coming by the bucket load at the moment. But I think we have only lost three or four games by more than one goal. So perhaps he's right in what he's saying, maybe, in certain aspects. Perhaps I'm not saying we're centre back or a centre mid away from having a good team. Actually, we're not. We're seven or eight players, providing everyone stays. But you can kind of see where he's coming from with certain points. Really, I wasn't there yesterday. I might not even be there for the rest of the season. But I don't know. I'm trying to maybe clutch at straws. Maybe I don't know. But I don't know if anyone else has got more views on that.
I get your point regards to we're not far away, because if we had all our players back from injury, I don't think we'd been losing games. Like, we probably would have seen out a draw yesterday, with, as Mike said, with Pell. Do you know what I mean? If we had Pierce back, Paul Callum-Bye back. Do you know what I mean? We had a bench that we could, if we had Josh Davidson yesterday, coming off the bench, I think we forget that we have got four or five first-team players out at the moment, which are massive losses. Thanks very much for your words regarding the podcast. As I said, when things happen in life, you kind of look at things in different perspectives. And I just said to someone in the pub, you've got to remember the good times that this club has brought us, and we have had some good times. As I said, I thought the young fans that were at Stevenage yesterday were absolutely spot on. They sang the whole 90 minutes. They weren't very negative. The ones I were talking to knew everything about Wimbledon and about football, and they were, yeah, it was spot on. And I thought, yeah, they were brilliant. And that's what I mean. I feel sorry for them fans, because you think they're young and they've just had 10 years of absolute shit. Well, at least I've had getting out of Combine Counties, winning the Ryman Division 1 with Mark de Bowler and stuff like that. I do feel for these fans who probably were so young at Plymouth and have had nothing since. So, yeah, it's pretty. I feel for them, really. But they go and they love it. Like, my boy's 14 and he wants to go Grimsby away, which I don't think we will be able to do, unfortunately. Go on, Mick. What did you want to say, mate?
Yeah, just coming back on the we're not that far away. And I mean, when we look at the fact we get beat generally by one goal, you could be forgiven for thinking that. But I think teams are not that far away when they create lots of chances and when they don't concede many chances. I mean, those of us who like a football bet, we study things like XG and stuff, you know, and we try and kid ourselves that we can read between the lines a little bit and work out when teams are lucky or unlucky and the rest. The reality is we don't really create many chances. And that really applies regardless of who we're playing against. There's a couple of reasons for that, I think. And chief amongst that is we don't have a midfield player who gets ahead of the play. The nearest we have to it, who looks like he might score a goal, is young Casey McAteer, who, incidentally, is a fine young player. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. But we tend to play with the best part of two holders. So we've really got six defenders. None of our fullbacks, with the exception of Biller when he's fit, are really potent going forward. And so you end up with you're sweating on Chiz getting a free kick or Ali scoring a goal. And I think one of the reasons I think I've been saying it, shouting from the rooftops for a long time, that Ali is miles too good for League Two, and I think he is. He's the best striker in League Two by an absolute distance, I think. It's not like we're carving out openings for him. The goals that he's scoring by himself. We get the ball in the box and he puts it in the back of the net. Really, that's... And sometimes, not even when we get it in the box, he puts it in the back of the net when we give it to him 30, 40 yards out. So, in a good front foot team, I think he would, at this level, it would be ridiculous. He'd be scoring two or three goals every game. It'd be a Haaland plus if he was in an attacking team. But so I don't think we are that close, really. I think in an ideal world, we'd defend better and we'd get more 1-1s and we'd get more 1-0s, much like we did when we were on that run. But I don't think we're close to cracking it and being a really good side at the moment. I'm sorry, I don't.
No, I agree, but I'll go to Kevin and then Robin, and then we'll talk about next season. I did hear some stuff that was going on, hopefully behind the scenes, that we're going to, do you know what I mean, what Craig Cope's doing. And yeah, again, it's all rumours that were going around the bars and people on trains and stuff on the way home and stuff. So, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Kevin, what did you want to say? And then I'll go to Robin.
Yeah, evening, mate. Great pod on Thursday, yeah, well, Friday, really enjoyed it, mate. I thought overall the game was pretty positive. You know, I thought we matched them, apart from a brain fart at the back from Curry, who's got nothing to really sort of apologise for. I thought we did quite well against a team that's big, fat and ugly, like the fucking idiot who sits in the bench behind them. So just a couple of bits about... I've packed up watching. I can't watch his interviews anymore. I can't do them. I've tried to.
We don't have a video interview this week. So.
No, thank fuck. Yeah. Or anything he's written. Yeah, I can't do. We're nearly there. Yeah. We got three fucking games to go and we still could go down. Yeah. When are we going to get there? After the final whistle of the final, you know, the final ball's kicked. It's the most ridiculous fucking comment I've ever heard. Yeah. If he ain't there by now, then he ain't ever going to get there in my book. Yeah. There's no line on the table that says points for nearly there. Yeah. Okay. You either win or you fucking lose or you draw. Yeah. So nearly there. don't come into it. The other stupid thing that he comes out with yesterday is that he's put Zanif back in because he's more confident with crosses. This is a man who is rooted to his line. Yeah. How on earth can you say that? The bloke don't know what he's doing. You know, if Little's injured, and if that is the case, why didn't he play Marsh? Why did he not start Marsh, keep Little on the bench in case he needs him? If you was Little, you would not want to come anywhere near this club again. And if you were Forest Green, you'd be fucking livid knowing that your player has been loaned to somebody, they've taken a chance on him, and fucked him for months. I don't get the man. Just don't get him.
I disagree about your last comment about Forest Green and Little. I think Forest Green don't really care. I think Little's out of contract with Forest Green. That's why they were bottom of the League One, and they sent him to us. So I don't think they're too fussed about his footballing career at the moment. I think that he'll be gone in the summer, or if he's out of contract. I think he came to us with a view of a permanent move, which might be scuppered now if he is out for a longer period. And I disagree with your comment about I don't think he'd come near us. I think he'd love to come near us with what's going on at the club. As I said, the podcast on Friday was about positivity and stuff, which is a total different tact for me, as most people know. I usually sit there and moan about everything. But yeah, I heard some stuff regarding Craig Cope on Saturday, that Craig Cope is literally meticulous on his stuff with regards to non-league. So non-league, he knows everything about every player that plays in non-league. So he knows a lot of the agents. He knows a lot of the players. He knows a lot of the League 2, League 1, what players are earning. So he knows what, say, a player is getting paid per week. So we've had a couple of players come to Craig Cope and say they want better money. I think, George Marsh is our highest paid player. So he'll be gone in the summer because he knows that he can get two players for the price of George Marsh. So that's one thing that does, I think we are nearly there with Kevin. I get your point, because how can we be nearly there when we literally could be staring down into the National League? I don't want Johnny Jackson in the job. I'd rather go with someone totally different next year, have Danny Macklin in the background making us money, and Craig Cope doing the transfers, and we have a better manager come in. But unfortunately, I think we're stuck with Johnny Jackson, and I don't know why we are or how we are. There must be something going on. But yeah, Craig Cope knows what pretty much every player is earning. So I think we're also going to be looking at going at 6 foot plus next year. So we are going to be an ugly team. I think there's three players already lined up. No one gave me names of what players or nothing, but there's already three players that we pretty much signed already for next season. And they're going to be 6 foot four plus, these three players. So that does excite me a little bit. I know some people said, how can you be excited and stuff with Johnny Jackson still at the helm? Craig Cope's going to be doing his best to make sure that we have a decent first team on that pitch next year. We've all seen that the way you play in League Two is to be big, ugly, and you score your goals. You win. Like, look at yesterday, the two goals they scored were both mistakes, but they capitalised on both of them. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we need next year. And I think with Ali, Davison, Pell, do you know what I mean? We've got a kind of spine going through that team already. If we can keep Billa, I think Curry will be off. I think Zanev's going to be off. I think Marsh is gone. I think a few other players are going. I think we might end up getting rid of Pierce only because of his injury record, and you can't have a player who's only going to play 20 games for you if you can bring in a 25-year-old who's going to play hopefully all season. Injuries happen, but I think we're going to be more robust next year. So that's what I heard.
Do you really think Ali's going to kick off for us in the start of next season?
Yeah, 100%. I don't get how you get a signing in January and you sell him in the summer unless we get a mad offer for him.
I agree with Kevin. Yeah. Sorry to butt in. I think there's no chance of Ali being here next season.
No,
honestly,
no.
I think we're going to get knocked over in the rush for him. I mean, it's so obvious why we played him on the wing first three games. I lose sleep thinking about that sometimes. But it's so obvious that he's way above the level that he's playing at. Even League One, he might be too good for League One as well. He might just go straight in the Championship. I said to a guy on the train yesterday, I think he'll end up at some point playing the Premier League, and the guy laughed at us. And it's the same as Wickham Wanderers fans when he played three or four games for us, and I said he's miles too good for the level. on Twitter, and I said, you know, the would you take 2 million quid for him? And they said, give over 2 million quid. He couldn't get a game for us, and blah, blah. I said, well, you've let him go. It happens to all clubs sometimes. You let a player go, and you make a mistake. Well, they made a mistake with this kid. I mean, he's absolutely different gravy.
Mick, I've got to counter you there. And I said to you yesterday when I spoke to you, I said, I love your opinions. And what I love about you is your opinions. And that's who that. But sometimes I think you do go a bit overboard of some of our players. Like literally every player we have is going to be playing in the Premier League. But we sit fourth and bottom in League Two. Do you know what I mean? So there must be something fundamentally wrong with some of these players that we have. It can't just be the manager. And I get what you're saying regarding Ali. I think he's a really good player. But why have no other club picked him up previously? He was at Wickham. Do you know what I mean? He was scoring goals for Racksteel. He played for Wickham. Do you know what I mean? How has Craig Cope come in January? And I believe that Craig Cope, I understand that Craig Cope is behind the Ali signing and the Imani Little signing. How have we got Ali? And no one else has gone, we've got to have this kid because he's going to be playing in the Premier League in a couple of years. I just can't see how he's on form now and there's scouts coming down and watching him. Like there's probably scouts coming down and watching Rose at Stevenage and Sweeney and stuff. But I just can't see how we sign a player in January and then a couple of months later in summer, we go, yes, he can. Unless it's a mad offer.
So do you think, yeah, when someone comes in, and offers million off in the summer potentially, or a million, yeah. Redoni went for 800,000, yeah. We all know strikers go for more than attacking midfielders, yeah. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that someone comes in and offers million off for him, yeah. That the club are going to go, no, I'm really sorry, we only signed him 4 months ago, we can't sell him. They'll be selling him down the road because the old debt thing will come up. It will go.
But guys, the biggest issue is the buyout clause that is 100% going to be in his contract. That's the biggest issue.
But we've got a 2.5 year deal on him. Unless I don't know what the buyout clause is, but he's got a 2.5 year deal. So we're not going to go, oh, we're going to give him away for peanuts. We have to, and also with this debt thing. I understand that's going to be sorted very soon. I don't think we're going to be in debt much longer. But this was all rumours.
Say if Ipswich come in and they say, right, for opening offer. I mean, this is the way I suspect it will go. Opening offer £1 million. We say no, we're not even going to speak. We shouldn't even pick up the phone for £1 million, in my opinion. But anyway, they offer £1 million. We turn it down. Two or three other teams come in, Bolton and West Brom, and say we'll give you 1.2, 1.3. As it nudges up towards Kevin's 1.5, and I actually think Ali's worth more than that, but I think Kevin's probably about right at the level. When someone's up at 1.5, it's probably on, it'd be on £1,500 a week with us at tops, I would think. Someone comes in and says, we'll pay you 1.5 million quid for him, and we'll pay the player 8 grand a week. Well, he wants away before you go any further. The lad wants away, doesn't he? And although we can posture and say he's not for sale and we're not doing this and we're not doing the rest of it and blah, 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 ultimately, you've got no choice, have you? And if he starts next season for us, I hope he does, but if he does, I think it's an indictment of all the scouting systems of all the teams that are in the leagues above. Is it because they've only got to watch him play once. I mean, it's not, you don't need a coaching badge to be able to tell the kid's miles too good for League Two.
I agree with you, Robin. I know you're waiting patiently, so we'll come to you next. I'll just go back to Mick and Kevin's points. Someone's just made a point here. Bryn's just made a good point. Wickham have a sell-on clause. He said it's 50%. I don't know if that's true, but if Wickham have a 50% sell-on clause, we're not going to be taking £1 million. Also, if we did say selling for £1.5 million, that's a great return for a club like us that got a player in January and we've made 800 grand off him in what would that be? 5 months, 4 months, you've got to take that money. We have to. We're a selling club. I get what you're saying about the debt and about, but that's who Wimbledon are at the moment. If we can get, look at Craig Cope's history at Solihull Moors. He got Kyle Hudlin in and they sold him for fortunes. We have to do it. If we can get Jack Curry out for £1 million, if we can sell Ali for £1.5 million within 4 months, you do it. It's crazy if you don't. You know what I mean? If you buy a house and then 4 months later you can make £500,000 on it, you do it. It's what you do. Robin, what did you want to say, mate?
Firstly, I was going to say I hadn't said it. I thought the pub was great as well. I really enjoyed the change of tone. Obviously, the circumstances are horrible, but it's nice to feel a bit of positivity, even if it hasn't come from the pitch. It's a point that was quite far back now, but sort of on being close.
And I felt we were close when we had Huss and Jack Curry, and they were pouring forwards, and they were being really attacking fullbacks. And at that sort of point, sort of a few months ago, when we weren't quite getting the results, I thought we were close. Now I wouldn't. It's not quite the same. We're not close when we're not. I don't think we're close when we have not sort of getting the results out of it. And then I think on Ali, I mean, we've got what this year ends. If we had 1 year in his contract, I'd completely get all the do we don't we sort of stuff. But especially if there's a big sell on, I don't see what's going to happen unless there's something, an absolutely huge offer, or he's incredibly unhappy, which would surprise me, given his reactions on the pitch. I don't see why on earth we have to sell him this year. Is he going to lose all his value next year? I mean, I don't think many of us think that'll happen. So he's got 2 years. Why on earth, unless there's a sell-on clause that's met, and then obviously that's horrible, but I'm sure we'll make some money. But I don't see why we've got to sell him this year. He's got 2 years.
No, I totally agree with you. I think people, I know he's good and stuff, but we don't have to sell. He's got a 2.5 year deal. I know he's good, and we might have to sell him in January, but I think he'll be our player next year. I think he'll be starting up front with Josh Davison, and I think I don't see why we have to sell our best asset at the moment when we can keep him. And as I said, I think I made a mistake the other week when I thought our sales money was going on the debt, but our sales money is going into the actual budget for next season. And so that's our one. We only have to sell one player a year, as Sam got told earlier. He don't talk in facts. So, do you know what I mean? If we sell Curry, which I think he'll be off in the summer, I think Zanev, I think, will be off in the summer, which we'll get a fee for, because there's a championship club sniffing around him for him to be number two. Not to go up there and be number one in the championship, even though Mick would probably say he'd be in the premiership soon. But I think he's a championship number two, and that means we'll get a fee because he's under contract. So I don't see why we have to sell Ali right now. Do you know what I mean? So I get it. He's a good player, but yeah, I don't think we have to. Mick, did you want to say anything else regarding yesterday's game before we move on?
No, not really, Liam. Just on the, I'm not saying we have to sell him. I'm just saying we might get a hand for us. That's all, man. I'm not saying we have to or we want to, but if someone offers to quadruple his money and the lad wants away, we've got no choice, have we? And I suspect that's how it'll pan out.
No, I agree. And as I said, if we sell him and we make decent money off him, that's a good deal, to be fair. 4 months later and you make good money out of a player that you only had for 4 months. I know Ali, he's on Facebook and Twitter and stuff saying how much this is a special club and he loves it. I take that with a pinch of salt, because there ain't a player out there that don't have their media teams now saying that kind of thing. But yeah, I think we should sell him anyway, because he gave his shirt to a kid with a cardboard sign. Do you know what I mean? I think that should be completely banned. And if Danny Macklin's listening, can you tell the players, please don't give their shirts to kids with cardboard signs. Rip up the sign in front of them and give it to another kid. Thank you. Robin, you've got your hand up as well.
Well, on the social media point, I think there's a good 8-9 players in the team who don't have their social media teams being active and saying all sorts of stuff, maybe because they're getting negative reaction. But I don't think that's necessarily a sign of whether or not him doing it is completely superficial, because I'd say from everything he's shown, his attitude's been great. And on a Sarnov note, I've always quite liked him, but then again, I'm a goalkeeper, so I like almost every goalkeeper we've got and defend them beyond perhaps when I should, because kind of feel I have to. I don't think he's... sometimes I think he gets some unfair blame. I think if for some reason a championship club were sniffing around, I think that'd make a lot of people happy. Because if we got some money for him, some people don't want him, it'd be a pretty good deal for everyone. I mean, that surprises me a bit, but I don't know. I'm not really on the rumour mill, so I don't really know.
No, I agree. And again, the rumours I've been hearing over the weekend, and this is coming from different people, do you know what I mean? So because I run the podcast, I get messages and tweets and everything and saying, have you heard this? Have you heard this? And as I said, so what I heard from the weekend is that we have someone who is looking to invest in the football club. So the people that want outside investment might be getting their way, is the fact that we might have someone that wants to come in and put money into the club. I think it's quite a substantial amount of money. No one's really said any figures at me or anything. They just have you heard that there could be someone coming in. I don't know if it's buying the 10% shares or buying even more, but yeah, we could have someone lined up to put some outside investment in. So again, that would be good news for the club. because that's something that we need, I think, outside investment. So what do people think of that? Has anyone heard any rumours regarding that? As I said, we get told quite a lot because, and again, I take it with a pinch of salt because you're on a train home and it's three or four people saying stuff to you that you think, well, we're like, do you know what I mean? We're selling Ali for 10 million. Mick Dawes, Premier League, AFC Wimbledon team are all going off to play a team of the year. Yeah, you get loads of stuff. Go on, Robin, and then I'll go to Kevin.
Well, I'd say I'm not totally against the idea, but I hope that any safeguards we put in are checked about 1,000 times, because you've seen sort of how other clubs can sort of be undone by fraudulent investment. Obviously, but I feel often we get the sort of, you get some people saying, oh, look at all the worst ones, some people saying, oh, look at all the best ones, and you never really quite find out. You never really know what you're going to get. And yes, there's things that go awfully, there's things that go really well, and it's possible we could lie anywhere on that scale, but I just hope whatever is done is checked, and there's, I'm not saying a way out of it, but a way to manage. And perhaps, I mean, given the club's history, you could argue for having slightly stronger safeguards against what sort of most people would see as a normal sort of thing in investment. I just hope if something is happening, it's properly thought through.
No, I agree. And I think you're right. I think we spoke to Charlie Talbot before and he was looking at the 50+1. I'm sure there was some stuff in the minutes recently as well regarding outside investment. I'm sure there was some stuff in the minutes. I don't really read them, but I'm sure that's what someone was telling me yesterday. I said Charlie Talbot's talking about the 50+1 stuff, but I don't know if that works in England. I know it works in Germany because it's actually in law. But you're right, Robin, with regards to what you said there regarding the... If people are not for selling out or not outside investment, they just throw bad owners at you, and the people who want outside investment just throw good owners, and there's never any, it's just black and white, it's never any grey periods in it. So yeah, Kevin, what did you want to say regarding that matter?
I think if there is some outside investment, it can only be good. I think if you look at up to Christmas where we were placed, I don't think we'd need to have thrown the kitchen sink at it by any stretch of the imagination. We could quietly, easily have ended up comfortably top half, even pushing for the playoffs. I think a little bit of investment probably would, or might be able to, if it's done right, you might be able to get the right players in for 2 to 3 years that you can build that spine, put some people around them in the next couple of years. And you know what? Just stabilise it. Bring it, you know, to, we all said, oh, we were fed up with League One because we're losing every week. It'll be better in League Two. Guess what? We've tried to apply pretty much the same model again, and we're losing every week again. So I think some outside, you know, outside money could only be a good thing.
No, I agree. And as I said, I was just looking at WAP, the Women Underground Press, and someone's mentioned it on there regarding outside investment, regarding it could be a Qatari businessman, I think he was mentioned on there. Again, I take everything with a pinch of salt of what you read on fan forums and Facebook and stuff. But yeah, that's what I heard, and it could be linked to the club that we signed ourselves from. So
I get also, it comes down to what they're going to invest in. Are they going to invest in paying off some of the debt? Or are they going to invest in putting money into the squad? Because when the fateful night in that December of the three fellas who were going to put $7.5 million in, they were going to put $7.5 million in, but it was just money to pay towards the stadium. They were quite clear they wouldn't put any money into the playing squad. So what are they going to do? Are they going to invest in a bit of both? Or, you know, that's what would need to be found out, wouldn't it?
No, I agree. And again, it's going to take a lot of work. We have to get it voted in. I think that's where it falls down. I just don't see it being voted in at all, to be fair, especially if it's Qatari businessmen.
But if we're actually talking to people, that's going further than we've gone before, aren't we? Because we all know the stories of McAntony, where he wanted to come and see him, and Eric just waved him away, didn't he? And just said, we're not for speaking to. We don't even want to enter into this. If we're actually entering in those discussions, maybe finally, and I think that's what a lot of people have wanted, finally the club are actually looking and going, something needs to change. Yeah, so we need to have these conversations. It's not to say the first person they speak to might be that right person, but if they're actually willing to sit down and admit that maybe we need some outside help, or things need to change slightly. That's got to be a positive, surely.
No, I agree, and I think that's one thing. And as I said, the outside investment, people might have a smile on their face if it is true. And again, as I said, it's something I read on WAP and other places, and got spoken to about it at the weekend. And the other one I got spoken to about, sorry, Robin, I'll come to you in a minute, is the London Irish. London Irish are looking to move out of Brentford. I don't think the costs are adding up there for them. And they're looking at possibly moving into Plough Lane. I know some people said, I think, as again, I was just reading it there, they're in quite a lot of debt. But they have just got some American owners or investment come into them, and that they'd be willing to maybe build the South Stand. And build a stand, because that's what they were going to do previous with Plough Lane. When we were first looking to build Plough Lane and the money weren't adding up, we were looking at a rugby team to come in and fund it. And I think, again, people are going to moan about the pitch. They're going to moan about it getting ripped up and stuff, and we're not going to play our beautiful football. You don't play beautiful football in League Two. I'm not bothered if our pitch is a bit ripped up and stuff. I'd love to see money coming into this club, and the more money we can get in, it's better for us as going forward with regards to budgets. And in League Two, we have to play a bit more long ball, and we play a little bit more long ball, and people might understand what it was like watching Wimbledon FC back in the day when we used to batter teams playing what was supposed to be long ball. Robin, I'll come to you, and then Kevin again. Robin, what do you want to say, mate?
On the Darren McAntony stuff, obviously I don't know the ins and outs of the situation. I feel like that's a little unfair on Eric and Darren. That's Peter, isn't it? And I think they've had some goodish times in it, but they're basically been for the majority of their time in League One. I saw how they had some ground trouble recently, so I don't sort of really know. I don't know exactly about it. But the other thing is, obviously, with anything like that, especially, I'd imagine it's going to require another 75% plus vote with another high attendance. And there's a lot of people with votes out there, and I'm not entirely sure. I don't think we can necessarily go and debate and say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Because even if you find the people with the money, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have a say. And obviously, personally, I'll look at whatever's presented, and I'll try and make what I think is the best decision and sort of what also people want. But I think it could be tough, depending on sort of what's presented, actually, to get the votes for it. I feel like that could be either a problem or good, depending on what's offered.
No, and the problem with the McAntony stuff is he come at probably the wrong time. My issue with it back then is that it never actually went for a vote. It never went actually to the fans. It did get shut down from straight away without actually coming to us. The Don Struss made that decision straight away. He came, again, this is all what rumours and stuff of what he said, that he was going to build a ground for Wimbledon. He was going to put in a big enough budget to get us into the Championship. Again, I think looking at Peter Ribb, that they're a good club, they do well, they buy non-league players, they buy good players from lower leagues, and they sell them for millions. I don't know what's happened recently. It does look like they've gone away, and McAntony's now going to be stepping away from it. So I'm with you, Robin. I will look at all the stuff on board, what's going to be proposed, and we'll go from there if it ever does happen. So, Kevin, what did you want to say? I do have to wrap up, because as I said, I've got a poorly little one here at the moment, and my missus will kill me if I keep rambling on for hours. So,
no worries, mate. I think the McAntony thing, I think when I listened to the interview with him when he was on Aaron Paul, and you take it, you know, with a pinch of salt, you either believe him or you don't. But he said he wants to step away, doesn't he? Because I think his family have moved to America and he wants to have like a year or so away from it. They've played, he talks about playing money ball, you know, not to the same level as Brentford. But he also did turn around and say, do you know what? I can't sell someone for 2 million and then give the manager 50,000 and go replace him. Yeah. So, you know, he's the businessman. He'll buy something because he knows there's money in it. So I think, you know, it was definitely shut down. He didn't even get a chance to talk. If we're going to speak to people, that's got to be a positive way forward. My thing with the rugby is, I don't know whether I want another rugby club playing there, because I can't do those lines on the pitch any longer. But do we need someone who's going to build another stand? We've got a £22 million stand that is 50% finished, yeah, and we don't have the money to finish it. Do we really need another stand? I don't think we do. I think we need money on the pitch.
It depends on what's going to happen, though, with that, Kevin. If say a club come in and said, we're going to build your South Stand for you, does that mean the bar gets bigger underneath? Does that mean we can have for a bit better, say, catering underneath it, and that will raise funds as well? Does that mean they're going to pay for it, and they're also giving us money to hire out Flower Lane to play the rugby games? I get your point regarding the Lions, and I know a lot of people don't like them, but at the end of the day, it's all about making money at the moment, and we have to clear. At the moment, we don't have an investment, so we have to clear debt. If another club can come in, build a stand, it opens up an avenue at the moment to bigger resources and better revenue, then we have to look at it. And again, I think fans have to be realistic to what we need. And again, you said about getting it on the pitch. The only way we can do that is by making better revenue streams coming through and coming in.
Let's improve what's there. Yeah, let's say to them, we don't need a bigger South Stand, because we don't, do we? Yeah.
But if a rugby club's going to come in...
Why didn't you fit out the third floor for us? They've talked about a six-figure sum to fit out the third floor. Yeah, okay. Fitting out that third floor surely will give a bigger return than building a bigger stand that we ain't going to fill.
But that's going to be no good to a rugby club who needs to have a 15,000 all-seater stadium to be able to play in the top level of rugby. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to go, yeah, I'll build out your third floor, but we're not going to have the capacity to get into the top flight. That's why I think if a rugby club comes in, like a London Irish, they have to build a South Stand, because they then have the capacity. Even though they only get 9,000-10,000, to get in that top level, you have to have a certain capacity. So that's why they would do that. That's why they wouldn't go, oh, we'll build out the third floor. And that's the reason that they build that South Stand. I understand it as that. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to close it down now, because, as I said, my little one's a bit poorly. The missus is sorting him out, and if I crack on for too long, I'll get it in the ear, which is no good for me. So, again, thanks to everyone who has come on and spoke. Thanks to everyone who sent comments through. Thanks to everyone who come on and listened. We do appreciate it. We'll go again on Friday with another podcast, me and Danny. Danny is back from his Centre Parks holiday. As I said the other day, some people are living the life of Riley if they're going to Centre Parks during half term. Do you know what I mean? He must be earning some bucks. Yeah, we'll be back Thursday, and then I won't be here next week with a debrief. I'm going to see if Jack Maltney can cover it for us. I am in Germany watching Borussia Dortmund and Borussia Mönchengladbach. I'm sure you'll hear that during the week as well. But yeah, have a good week, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Come on, you dance.